Well, there are many titles that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Nativity story. We think of how he was called the Governor, how he was called the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, Emmanuel, the list goes on. But, you know, here's my favorite, Savior. He is the Savior. And, of course, you, I'm sure, saw that text that we had up earlier, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel brought the good news of a Savior, someone who had come to save us from our sins. Many people think today that the Lord Jesus came into the world just to be a good example, just to give us a model to follow and to try to be like him and to be kind and to be good and to help people out. Well, yes, he does want us to be like that, but he came to save us. First and foremost, he came as our Savior. I wonder this morning, as you sit and worship with us, do you know him as your Savior? The word Savior is mentioned many times in the Scriptures, not just in the New Testament. It was mentioned in the Old Testament as well, right throughout the Bible. The word Savior is mentioned in the New Testament. It's mentioned 24 times. In the Old Testament, it's mentioned 15 times. So many, many references in the Scriptures talk about God as the Savior. The Lord is the Savior. And you see, the Bible tells us that he's the only Savior. He is the only Savior. There's no other way but through Christ. The Savior himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But I want us to think about this great text of Scripture that is found in Luke chapter 2. And these are the words of the angel to the shepherds. So think with me, first of all, about the shepherds. The men with the need. Hope you can see the words, the men with the need. You see, these shepherds on the hills outside Bethlehem were very needy men. They were outcasts. They were rejects. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. Shepherds were barred from synagogues. You have come in freely this morning into the church, and no one has tried to stop you coming into this church today. But 2011 years ago, had you been a shepherd, there had been somebody at the door to say, clear off, your type's not wanted here. They were barred from synagogues. They were also barred from courts. A shepherd wasn't allowed to be a witness in a court of law. His testimony was looked upon as unreliable. So you can see that these men were despised. They were rejected. But then the man who came to save them was despised and rejected. If you've ever read Isaiah 53, if you've never read it, you don't know what you're missing out on. That would be a good passage to read even at Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 53, it tells us that the babe of Bethlehem, the one who came to the manger all those years ago, it says of him, he is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And it says that we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We didn't want anything to do with him. You see, that's the way that sinners are by nature. We don't want anything to do with the Savior. We run in the opposite direction from him. He comes to us. He came to us 2011 years ago. But the sad thing is, we run in the opposite direction. He comes, but we run away from him. Oh, how sad it is. But here we have this wonderful message of salvation that comes to these men in need. These men who had great need. These sinners. But I remember that you're a sinner too. And you're in great need as well. And so am I. Because the Bible tells us, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You know, we're all in the same boat, and every one of us need this Savior, just the same as the shepherds needed him. Well, not only the man with the need, but I want you to think, secondly, of the messenger in the night. Messenger in the night, and we're just going to push on because time's marching on. The messenger in the night, who was it that brought this message to the shepherds? It was the angel. The angel. You know, people have an awful lot of foolish notions and foolish ideas about angels. People think that angels are women. Have you ever seen children's storybooks? You know, you have this picture of a lovely, blonde, long-haired angel, lovely young woman. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that angels are female. According to the Bible, they're all male. You see, time and time again, we read he, him. I could turn you today to the first chapter of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. It tells us there about the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary. Listen, it says, it describes the angel in verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak these glad tidings unto you, unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And you see, throughout Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, it says, he. Notice verse 29. This is the verse that I really wanted to read. And when she saw him. That's the angel. And when she saw him. It's not her. When Mary saw him, she was troubled at her saying. No. His saying. The angels are males. They're men. Then, of course, people have this picture in their mind that angels have wings. Well, I don't believe that angels have wings at all. Now, before maybe you're thinking, well, I must correct them on the way out, for Isaiah chapter 6 talks about the seraphim with their six wings. Well, I don't believe that seraphim are the same as angels. They're heavenly beings, but I don't believe they're the same. Talks about, of course, the cherubim stretching their wings over the Ark of the Covenant in the book of Exodus. But again, I don't believe that they're the same as angels. The scriptures don't tell us anywhere that angels had wings. You know, people have this idea of the angel of the Lord appearing to the shepherds and floating up in the sky and flapping her wings. That's not the case. In fact, most commentators, most scholars would say that the angel who appeared to the shepherds all those years ago came walking across the field to them. No, the Bible says, it doesn't say anywhere that angels have wings. They don't have wings. But I'll tell you someone who does have wings. The Lord. You see that little babe who was born in Bethlehem? He has wings. Now, I'm not talking literally. I'm not speaking about literal wings today. Spiritually speaking, he has wings. Listen to the words of Psalm 36. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 91. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Are you trusting today under the shadow of his wings? That little babe who is now the Savior in heaven, adored and worshipped by all the multitudes of heaven. Are you trusting him today? Is your faith in him? Are you sheltering under his wings today? Oh, that you would come today and take shelter under his wings. Shelter from the wrath of God against your sin. Then I want to finish today. One final thought. The meaning of the name. Not only do we have the messenger in the night and the men in their need, but the meaning of the name. And you know, we're thinking today about the name Jesus, the Savior. The name Jesus literally means the Lord saves. It's more or less the same as the word Savior. Jesus, Savior, they're more or less identical. They both mean the same thing. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. Has he saved you from your sins? You know, the angels said to the shepherds, all the host, the great multitude of the angels, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now notice that last phrase, goodwill toward men. Here's what the modern translations, here's how they put it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom God is pleased. What nonsense. To those with whom God is pleased. Bunkum. God is not pleased with any man. That's why the Savior came. That's why Jesus came. He came to save us because the Lord Jesus Christ knew that God wasn't pleased with one single person upon earth. No one had came up to his standard. No one could reach the holy standard that God Almighty had set. What nonsense for translators to say that God is pleased with men, and the Savior who came to those who God was pleased with. He came into this world because God was pleased with men. Not at all. Absolute rubbish. Jesus came because we were vile and unclean and sinful and we needed a Savior. No, he's not pleased with fallen man. There's only one man who ever pleased God Almighty, his beloved Son. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Do you know this Savior today? If you don't know him, thank God you can come to know him. And what a wonderful, wonderful day it would be for you if you were to come to the Savior, if you were to be saved on Christmas Day. What a memorable day it would be for you.